We're going to learn Daf Chav Zayin in Masechtas Ksuvos. We're going to start from the end of the second line. But let me just give you a background, what's going on over here. There was a Mishnah that said that since we're in the topic of Shvuyah, if somebody gets captured, and we're always afraid that something happens while she was captured. So the Mishnah itself made a distinction between whether we're talking about the reason why she was taken was for a monetary reason, or the reason why she was taken was for something dina nefashis, that the chayev miso. So the Mishnah says, for monetary reasons, you don't have to worry about anything because she's valuable, and they don't want to touch her. They want to be able to get their money. Whereas for money, once they're taking her for life reasons, so the way Rashi learns is that she's a hefker, so nobody really cares anymore, and then maybe she'll be willing to live with them. It's going to be a problem. Okay, that's the Mishnah on its face. So talking about the when it's monetary, they're not going to want to touch her. But in the Gemara, Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, in the name of Rav, said that even monetary is only true if there's Jewish law and the Yidden are controlling the rules. But if the Goyim are controlling the rules, so then it doesn't make then we don't care because they'll get their money anyway. Fine. Then the Gemara tells a story about this woman, and this is how we're going to jump in right now. Then the Gemara tells a story about this woman who decided to make herself a pikadon, meaning that she said she borrowed money from a guy, and she told the guy, if I don't pay you back, then you could take me as a slave. You own me. So then, and the problem was she didn't pay back, and the guy took her. So the Gemara says, well, the story as it goes is that she had witnesses that even though the guy took control over her, so they didn't touch her. Fine, and this is a story that happened in Ashkelon where the goyim are in charge. Okay, so we see that even when the goyim are in charge and it was a monetary issue, the goyim did take her, but only because, and the Gemara wanted to say, only because she gave herself over as a pikadon. Alright, so now let's jump in and say the Ikada Amri. There's another version to how to understand what happened in this story. Again, second line from the top on Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara says, Ikada Amri, Amar Rovo, Afana Nami Tanino. Actually, to prove the point over here, we have this Braisa we learned in this, it's actually a Mishnah Nidius that we learned as follows. Hey, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin. Right, so it's a mission in Idiot, so it always starts off with an Eidus. Hey, Rav Yosi HaKoyin, Rav Zechariah ben Akosov, they testified as follows. Abbas Yisrael, on the certain girl, Shaharhenu ba'ashkaloin, that she gave herself over as a Bekodin, that if she doesn't redeem herself, the Goy gets to keep her. And it was in Ashkelon, which is a city that the Goyim controlled. V'rikuhu b'nei mishpacha, and the family stayed away from her because they assumed that the Goy took her. V'edeha me'idin ole'o shaloi nistero v'shaloi nitmo. But there are witnesses that say, don't worry about it, she was never with the Goy, nothing happened. Okay, the Amru Chachamim, and the Chachamim said, Imatem Aminu, so the conclusion was, the Chachamim Paskin, Imatem Aminu Shahareinu, if you're going to believe that the guy actually took her, Aminu Shalayn Yisrova Shalayn Itmo, then you also have to believe the witnesses that nothing happened. The Imenatem Aminim Shalayn Yisrova Shalayn Itmo, and if you don't believe that she stayed away from the guy, Altaminu Shahareinu, then you don't have to believe that she was taken in the first place. Okay, so in other words, they're saying, you can trust the story, she's going to be Mutter. Once again, and the Gemara says, "V'ha Ashkelon dalidei mamain have." Now, this story, the Gemara is focusing on a different point. Before, we were discussing whether it was life and death, whether it was controlled by the goyim or not. Here, we're focused on the fact that it was a monetary issue. It was only because of money. The time of the Eidim me'idin oisa, and the only reason why it was mutter was because she had witnesses that were able to verify that nothing happened. Ha'ein Eidim me'idin oisa, but if she didn't have the witnesses verifying she's okay, we would not say that she's okay. Now that contradicts our statement before. This is actually meant as a contradiction directly on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that when you're dealing with monetary issues, then you don't have to worry. They're going to protect their asset and they're going to want their full value. So we see in this Mishnah Nidius that no, it was only because Edom were willing to testify that she's Tahar that it's okay. But without the Edom, she would not be considered okay, even though it was only a monetary issue. So my love, So what do we see? And first of all, in order to ask this question and to make it a direct contradiction, you have to make that the cases are the same. So my love, loishna herhenu, loishna nechvesho. So it doesn't make a difference whether the reason why she gave it over, whether she was in the hands of the guy was because of this pikadin issue, this collateral issue, or because they simply just captured her off the street. So if you consider those two concepts the same, that the reason why she's in the guy's hands doesn't make a difference, whether it's captured or voluntary, either way, then you have a contradiction, because they're both talking about money, and in one case, our Mishnah says money's okay, and in the case of Idius, it says that we need Edim to prove that she's okay. So the Gemara answer is very simple, no, your assumption is incorrect. Loi herhenu shani. The fact that she was taken willingly, she voluntarily went into the guy's hands as collateral over there, and according to the way the goyim work, is once you take collateral, then the object is literally yours. So then, there is a big difference between whether she was simply captured, and I guess the issue is for money reasons, that means they want ransom, versus if she give herself over as collateral. And that's how the Gemara over here is mechalik, or the Gemara over here says there's a difference. So it comes out, according to this version of the Gemara, it all depends on why the guy took her, or what rights the guy thinks they have to her. If they took her for ransom, they're going to want to protect their asset. If they took her because she considered herself, she made herself into collateral, well, you're my collateral, you're mine, I could do whatever you want, and you still owe me the money. That's what would come out according to this line in the Gemara. So it has nothing to do whether it's controlled by Goyim or Yidin, has to do with whether or not the only way they're going to get their money is if they protect their asset. Okay, and then there's a third version of this story. Ikad Rami Le Mirma. There's another version where there are those that ask this Mishnah in Idias as a direct contradiction to our Mishnah. It says like this: Tanan Ayde Mama in Mutaris Labala. So you said in our Mishnah that if it's a monetary issue, she can go back to her husband because the guy is not going to touch her. Virai Minu, but I'll ask you a stira. What about this Mishnah in Idias? Hey, Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi told this story about the woman that was taken. And the Gemara says that this story was relevant because they wanted their money. Ukitani, and again we see Taima the Edim Edenoi. So it's only because the witnesses were willing to say to testify that she's okay. But without the witnesses, she would not be okay. So we see there's a straight contradiction. Our Mishnah says whenever money is involved, it's not a problem, and this Mishnah in Idia says it is a problem, and I need Edim to verify. But without the Edim, it's a problem. So is it a problem or is it not a problem? A straight contradiction. So then again, it's the same story, just a different way of phrasing it. Umashani, and now that we asked it as a straight contradiction between two Mishnayos, we answered Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok was not coming to give a hesber on our Mishnah. Rather, he was giving it is a hesber on our Mishnah, but based on a contradiction, he had to explain our Mishnah as follows. Loikasha, it's not a stira, because Kan Shiyad Yishol Tekifala Evdei Kechavim, Kan Shiyad Evdei Kechavim Tekifala Atzman. It simply depends on the overall, who's in control of the law. If the Jews are in control of the law, then for monetary issues, it's not going to be a problem, because they know once you touch her, you lose your value. But because she can't go back to her husband, so the husband's not going to redeem her, so he's not going to pay. Whereas, if the goyim are in charge, the goyim don't care. The goyim don't have this rule that it depends on whether she's tahar or not. So therefore you have no idea what's going to go on. So if the goyim are involved, if the goyim control, rather, and it's their law, then the only way you can rely on the fact that she's takamutter is if you have edim. So it comes out, right, and according to this third version, it's very simple. It just depends on the explanation of Rav Yitzchok Amarav, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, that says that it depends on who controls the law. And if the goyim control the law, then you need witnesses to prove that she is okay. Fine. That takes us to the first point. Yes. Now the Gemara quotes the last part of the Mishnah. It says, "Hayidei nefashas asurais," that if the reason why they were taken was because they were chayev misa, so then the goyim don't care, they're hefker, and they should be ushered to their husbands. So the Gemara has a very interesting explanation. What do the words "Hayidei nefashas" mean? So Amar Rav, Kegoin Noshi Ganvi. So Rav says it's even the wives of the the wives of the husbands themselves are ganovim. And Rashi says that in those days there was a law that if the husband is a ganov, the whole family, the government is allowed to punish the whole family, and even the wives are allowed, the wives are hefker, you're allowed a retribution you could take against the wives. And therefore, again, you're in a situation where nobody cares about the women, so they have a problem about going back to their husbands because the goyim are going to take advantage of them. The Levi Omar, and by the way, just so that you understand, it's not only the nafkamina of the person themselves is chayiv misa. What comes out from this gemara, and this whole gemara is going to be this way, is that we're not even talking about the person themselves is chayiv misa. It could be the husband who's the one who's chayiv misa, and still that already makes the whole family hefker. The Levi Omar kugosh ishtoi shel ben dunoi, like, for example, the wife of Ben Dunoi, who was a big ganav, who was not a ganav, somebody who was a reitzeach, he killed, so it was a little, one step further. It wasn't just that he stole money, but he killed people. So then, again, but the same idea, that it's not just that he, the husband was the murderer, and the wife is the one who's in trouble. So, that's the second halacha. So, Amar Chizkiya, v'hu shenigmar dinam lahariga. He says, this whole business of saying that they become hefker is only after there was an actual psak that the husband or the wife was chayev misa. There had to be a final psak that they were chayev misa, and then this rule takes effect. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afal pi shelo nigmar dinan lahariga, even if they didn't finish actually passing that way, but that's the general rule. So again, let's say you have this family that are a bunch of murderers or a bunch of ganovim, so even if the court hasn't yet ruled that this is going to be the law, the idea that the notion that, well, I know that her husband is a murderer, therefore she's already hefker, even before the court already paskin. So it comes out that these women are in trouble if they get taken by... Now, as long as they're living at home and nobody takes them, that's fine. But the problem is, again, in this context, if they are taken by the goyim, then you have to worry about the fact that they didn't treat them, that they were treated like hefker, and once they're treated like hefker, so then they're going to be usher to their husband. Okay. That takes us to the next Mishnah. So this was talking about individual women who were captured. Now, let's talk about in general. So, Ir Shekavshu al Karkum. So let's say you have a city that's surrounded in an ambush by an army. So it says, the Mishnah says, Kol Kaihanois Shenimtsu B'Toycha P'sulois. All women that are married to Kaihanim are going to now be osur, because here we're assuming that the guy, once they're capturing them, they're going to do whatever they want. And even if it's, the problem is, even if it's ba'inis, so the wife of a kohen is a problem. The im yesh lahen edim, but if there are edim that nothing happened, afilu eved. Now, what kind of edim? Even a slave, afilu shivcha, a maidservant, hare elon emanim, we can trust the maidservant. We'll define that in the Gemara. The ein emanim odim al yidei asmi. However, a person is not believed about themselves. Not able to say, don't worry, nothing happened to me. That is not good testimony. That, unfortunately, we cannot accept that. However, we can accept it from anybody, and anybody means almost anybody. So, okay, but the point is over here that when an army comes in, we have to assume that the army took advantage of all the people there. That's the end of the Mishnah. So therefore, of course, the Gemara immediately asks, V'raminu, I'll ask you a contradiction. We see just because the army is there, it's not necessarily a problem. So Baal Shes is, again, it's an army, it's a group of soldiers that come in, and they're looking for something. It's like they're looking, the way Rashi says, they're going into the city to search. So Shabolair, they come to a city, B'shas Sholem. So here's the rule. If it's a peaceful time and they're just there looking for whatever they're looking for, so Chavios Psuchois Asurois, if you have a barrel of wine, now this is not written in the context of our Mishnah, this is on a completely different topic, but the idea is the same. So Chavios Psuchois Asurois, if you have an open barrel of wine, then you have to worry that the Goyim touched the barrel of wine, they did Yai Nesach, and you can no longer use that barrel of wine. Stumois mutaris. Okay, so interestingly, we say that the closed barrels, if it's closed, they're not gonna touch it. It's only once it's open, so then already they'll take advantage of it and they'll make it usur. Okay. But here we have the next line is Bashas Muchamo, Elu Mutaris. But when it's during wartime, then they don't touch anything. They're busy fighting their battles. They're not getting involved with the wine. They're not touching anything. The fee, as the Mishnah itself explains, the fee she'ein panai lenasech. There's no time. There's no time when you're fighting a battle. You're not busy, you know, busy with the wine. You're busy with the you're busy fighting the battle. So if so, the Gemara says the Gemara understands this as a contradiction. So we see from here that when the army is busy fighting their battles, they're not busy with what's going on in the town. They just want to fight the war. So if so, it should be the same thing theoretically should be true about the women. That if they're coming in, and remember our Mishnah's case was that they're coming in as an ambush, that they're conquering. So if they're conquering, that means they're during battle. So the women should be okay, because during battle they shouldn't touch anybody. They should be busy with their wars. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Mari, Livol Yesh Penai. When it comes to Bia, as Rashi says, there's a much stronger Yetzirah for they find time for that. But the Yain Nesach is not as important to them, so they're not going to find time. So unfortunately, even during wartime, even during battles, when it comes to the women, that all of a sudden they have time, and therefore we have to be concerned, and that's why our Mishnah says we're, at least certainly for the Yeshus Kayin, we have to be concerned. That's the first teretz. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Elozer Mishmei Dechizki Omar. He says no. It depends. Kan bekarkom shel oisay malchus. Kan bekarkom shel malchus acheres. It depends on whose army comes in, because the Mishnah is not clear. The Mishnah says the army. So whose army? So very simple. If it's a friendly army, if it's my country, so then they'll protect everybody. We don't have to worry about it. If it's an enemy army, so then they're going to take advantage, and then that's where the problems start. So the Gemara says, 1 second, is that so simple? Shall Oisai Malchus Nami, Yefshe Deloy Orek Chadme Nayu, says no. When you're talking about soldiers, so let's be honest. So even on a friendly army, our army, yeah, there's one guy out there who's gonna do whatever he wants to do. So why aren't we afraid that there's somebody out there is gonna do inappropriate stuff? The Eishes Kohen should be awesome. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So he says, you're right. We do have to worry about that. So we're talking about a case, Kishimishamrois, Royois Zuesu, that we have guards that are watching to make sure nobody's doing what they're, you know, the guards are there, they're protecting each other, and therefore, once they're watching each other, so then they're not going to, we're not worried about a random guy anymore. So the Gemara says, Efsha Deloy Naimi Porta, even if you have guards, the guards fall asleep for a minute, and a guy is able to sneak off and do what he wants to do. So why aren't we afraid? We can't trust soldiers. So the Gemara says, Amar Reb Levi. So Reb Levi says, yeah, Kagoin de Mahadar Lo Lamosa, over here that you protected the city, Shal Shilta, where you put like strings of noisy objects, the Kalba, and you have dogs, the Gubza are sticks that will crackle, the Uvza, and you have geese. So the thing is that when somebody comes, it's going to make a whole racket. So you're saying if the guard is going to fall asleep, the guard will wake up if somebody tries, so to speak, to cross the line and go over the boundary. So therefore, Enochanami, that's where you could say that the women are okay, that nobody's going to cross the line. But Enochanami, if you don't have these extra protections, so then you have to worry that somebody went off and did, you know, and took one of the women inappropriately. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Pligi Bar Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya V'Rabbana. It's actually a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon about whether or not we can be assured that the army didn't do what they were supposed to do. Chad Omar Kagoyim Bekarkom Shal Oisei Malchus Kan Bekarkom Shal Malchus Acheres. One says the distinction is very simple. It depends on whether it's my army versus an enemy army. V'loy kashalei v'loy midi. And don't worry about it. He says, once it's my army, if it's friendly, I don't have to worry about these things. Because remember, the bottom line here is, and the Mepharshim explained, the bottom line over here is, we don't know necessarily that anything happened. Over here we're making very general rules. And we're saying that if an army comes, automatically we have to worry. So it's just a chashash. It's just something that we have to worry about. Did it really happen or not? We don't know for a fact. And therefore, one sheet says, no, don't worry. If it's friendly, we don't have to worry about this. Is it possible? Anything is possible. But we don't have to worry about it. The Chad, Kashule, Hani, Kohani. But the other man, the armor, says, no, even friendly armies, what about the fact that somebody might go and do what they're not supposed to do? Why aren't we worried that the women are a problem? That the women are not tar. Umashani, and he answers, Kugoin, the Mahadule, Lamoso, Shoshilta, the kalba, the gavza, the avza. So he says again, and he says the only way, he says, even on a friendly army, we have to worry that somebody did, you know, when it got out of line. The only way we know that we're protected is if there are guards and there are noisemakers to make sure nobody goes over the line, and then, and so that the guards will see that anything happens. But otherwise, on a chanami, without protection, even a friendly army is going to be a problem, and we have to worry about, again, this is all relevant to kaihanim. Because over there, we're worried that a soldier might have done something ba'inis against her, and if it's ba'inis, an eshes kohen is going to be a problem. But we're not worried about anybody voluntarily going with the army. Amar Rav Idi bar Abin, Amar Rav Yitzchok bar Ishin, im yesh sham machbois. Okay, so this is going to change. This is going to save a lot of people. Im yesh sham machbois, if there is a cave or a hiding place, achas even one matzeles al hakayhenais kulon. This can save everybody. So it's interesting. The Ramban has a few explanations to this Gemara, but it's the way the Ramban understands this Gemara simply is, again, he has various explanations, but one of the explanations says that this hiding place theoretically was large enough for all the Eshes Koyenim to hide there. It was large enough for everybody to hide. Okay, the Ramban has questions on this pshat also, but that's what he's talking about. So he's saying that the reason why it's mutter now for all of them to be mutter is because they could have all hidden from the goyim and nobody would have touched them. So now, based on that, the Gemara asks, "Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, ena machzekas ala achas mahu." So what about the other way around? What if this hiding spot is only large enough for one girl, but we don't know which one? So mi amrin kol chada v'chada haynu ha. Do we say, well, it's any one of them could have been that girl that was hiding? Or maybe we don't say that each girl gets that privilege of being considered the one who got to hide. Umaysh, okay, fine. So that's the Gemara's question. Now the Gemara says, I don't understand the question. Umaysh no mishnei sibodim. We have a famous question that we have two pathways, echot tameh ve'echot tahor. Where the pathways are, one of them we know for a fact that it's impossible to go through the entire path without becoming tameh, and the other path has a chazaka that it's tahor. V'holach ve'echot mehen, and somebody walked through one of them, and he doesn't remember which path he took. Va'osu tahiros, and then after he walked through the path, he dealt with tahiros and he touched something. Uboch haveiroi v'holach b'sheni, and then somebody else walked in the other path. They know they didn't walk together, so they clearly walked in two different paths. Va'osu tahiros, and that second guy also dealt with tahiros afterwards. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so what's the halacha? So because in other words, one of them definitely is tameh, one of them is definitely tahar, and we don't know which one's which. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im nishal zeh b'fnei atzmai v'zeh b'fnei atzmai. If each one asks their own individual question, each one is tahor, because we hold the rule is safek tumah v'rishus harabim is considered tahor. If you don't know, if you're dealing in the rishus harabim, which is over here the case of path, it's not private, so, and you don't know what the halach is, you could be mekel. So as long as each one asks their own individual question, for each one independently, they're going to be tahor. However, shneim ka'achas, if they ask at the same time, then tameus. Then it's not a safek anymore, because you can't say each one is his own suffix, because they're asking as one, and if there's for sure a tumah over here. So then they're both going to have to be tummy. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Benkach Ubenkach Tumayin. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, they're always going to be tummy, because Lamaisa, there's a suffix tumah over here, and one of them is for sure going to be tummy. Okay, so that's the basic machlekas, but what we have to take this one step further. The Omar Rava Vitaima Rabbi Yochanan, either Rava or Rabbi Yochanan explained as follows. The Vas Achas, let's define the question over here. If they both came to ask in Bezdin at the same time, they're for sure tameh, because one of them is for sure tameh. And if they ask completely independently, one without the other, they're for sure tahar, because each one is their own suffix. So, what's the machlekes over here? The question is like this. He asks his own question, and then he says, okay, I'm tar, but what about my friend? So now he brings his friend into the question, and it's the same person that's asking the question. Not at the same time, but it's the same person asking about both. So mar medam alei lebavas achas. So one says, well, I can't paskin on both of them to the same guy. And therefore, it's as if I'm asking the question at the same time, and I have to say it's tummy. Umar, so the machlekes really over here is Umar medame le bezeach hazeh. He says, okay, over here also, even though it's the same guy asking, but he's asking it separately. He asks it as two different questions. And therefore, I can paskin on each one, even though now it's intrinsically a stira, but on each question I can ask and can answer independently, and they're considered their tahar. Now, remember, we're trying to compare this to the case over here with the women that were hiding. Each girl creates her own suffix, because I might be that girl that is tahar. V'hachanami, over here also, our situation over here, kivin d'shari le l'kuluhu kibas achas domi. And therefore we have to say over here also that since at the end of the day we're dealing with the entire city as one, so even though each girl maybe, had they asked the question separately and independently, could have gotten a heter, but now that we're dealing with the whole city as one, that's as if you're doing it bevas achas, and therefore we have no choice but to say it's going to be tummy. So the Gemara, okay, that's what the Gemara wants to say right now, based on this question, and we want to make them all tummy. So the Gemara now says, what do you mean? Hachihashta. How could you compare it? Hasam vaday ikka tuma. Remember, in the case of the two paths, one of the paths is for sure tummy, and one of these guys is for sure tummy, and it's just a question of which one. So therefore I understand, if you ask at the same time, you have to make one of them tummy, because there is certain tuma here. Hacha, but over here by the case of the goyim coming in, miyemar to itmi. Whoever said that any of these women really did anything wrong or had anything happen? Because it's all a chashash in the first place. It's all maybe something happened. And now you're saying not only is it a maybe, but now you're going to, it's a maybe, and even the maybe doesn't apply to each person. So it's true that we're asking about everybody at the same time, but we're only asking about a maybe at the same time. So you cannot compare. So according to this teretz in the Gemara, it would come out that as long as there's a tzad heter that you could say on each individual that I was the one that hid, and I, therefore I'm out of the question, and I'm tahar, I'm for sure tahar, then now you can even paskin about the entire city that each one has their own independent right to say that they are tahar, and they can all be considered tahar, because it's only a suffix in the first place. Okay. So now that's talking about if one of them definitely hit. So now the Gemara says, what about the next level? What on the bottom line over here? Boy Ravashi. Amra loinich besi v'loinit besi. What if a woman says, okay, I did not hide. I'm not that person that hid. But I can assure you that nothing happened to me. Mahu. So now what's the halacha in that case? Mi amrino, now on the top of Chav Zayin Amavez. Mali l'shaker. Do we say, why would I lie? Meaning, I could have easily said I was the one that was hiding, and it for sure be okay. So now that I'm saying I wasn't the one who was hiding, I have like a migu. And I could say, I could have said the better taina, so I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is, I didn't hide, but I'm also okay. That's one way to look at it. Idilma loy amrino. Or maybe, we don't say a migu in this case, because once she admits that she didn't hide, so now she's vulnerable, and she's a problem. And we're going to have to say that she's tameh, even if she says nothing happened. Again, all the other girls also, we don't have necessarily something happened, but misafik, we're making them usher. So she's just a regular safik, so maybe we're going to have to say that she's usher. So the Gemara says, let's clarify. Umayshna me'ahu maysu. What about this story? I'm going to show you a story where we have a safik, and we're going to say that it's okay. Again, a totally different topic, but this is just a question. The comparison over here is just simply in the context and the category of a suffix. How do we deal with a suffix? Okay, there was a story as follows. There was a particular guy. He rented a donkey to his friend. Now, when he rented it, Omar Le, he specifically told him, in the car rental store, he told him, don't travel in the route of Nahar Pekoid, because there's water over there and the animal's going to drown. Go in the other way, in Narish. There's no water over there and nothing's going to happen. So he told him at the rental agency, do not go in that direction. However, this genius guy, the borrower went ahead and he traveled exactly where he wasn't supposed to. Umis chamra, and of course, surprise, surprise, the donkey died. So also the kame de Rava. So now the story came in front of Rava to Paskin. Amar Le. So the renter said, "In boruch de nahar pekoid azli." I did go in the way that bad way. Miu loyhave maya, but there happened to be no water, and that's not why the animal died. In other words, if it died because of the water, obviously that's what he told me specifically not to do, and of course I'll be chayev. But I'm telling you, that's not why the animal died. The animal died for some other oinus, so I should not be responsible. So comes along Rava, Amar Rava, Mali the Shaker. Obviously, he had no reason to lie. He could easily have lied and said, "I went in the way he told me to go, and it died of natural causes, so I shouldn't be responsible." So you see that Rava's position is that I do say Mali Lashaker. I do say right. I could have told. I didn't have to tell the truth. I could have gotten away with it if I wanted to. But Abaya answered, Mali Lashaker b'mokam edim lo yaminun. Right. He says, so Abaya says, that story over there doesn't even have a Mali Lashaker. Because over there, once he said, I went to Nahar Pekoid, I went to that way, since there's always water there, the guy can't say there was no water. It's not really an option. He doesn't have an option. He ruined his own story. He undermined his own argument by saying, I went to Nahar Pekoid. And therefore, over there, in that case, he's stuck and he's going to have to pay, because now, once he admitted he went to Nahar Pekoid, it's definitely the water that killed him. Okay, but what comes out over there? It comes out that both Abaya and Rava agree that, theoretically, depending on the situation, if it remains a suffix, we do apply the concept of Mali Lashaker. We do allow the person to say, I could have told you a different story and that would have saved me, so I'm just telling you the truth, and the truth also, but nothing happened. So we see that both Abaya and Rava agree with the concept of Migu, that I could have, because I had a better argument, therefore believe my real argument. So therefore this woman also should be Mutter, because she could say, I had a better argument, I could have said I hid. So the Gemara answers, no. All right, and that's the way the Gemara wants to compare it, that we always have a Mali Lashaker. So the Gemara answers, no. Hachi Ashta, how could you compare? Hosom Vadai Ika Edim De Ika Maya. Over there, you don't say Mali Lashaker only because there was definitely water. And it was definitely water. They undermined their own argument. Hacha Vadai Itmi. Over here, this is actually comparing to the two guys who walked in the path. The two guys who walked in the path, definitely one of them is Tomei. It's not just a question of whether or not they became Tomei. One of them for sure became Tomei. So chashashahu. It's just a chashash. Uvamakam chashashah amrinon. Sorry, I read that wrong. Excuse me. We're comparing it to the case of the woman. Hacha vadai itmi. That's read as a question, the way Rashi learns bitmiya. Vadai itmi. Over here, is there anybody who says that they for sure became tamei? Chashashahu. It's just a chashash. Uvamakam chashashah amrinon. So when it comes to a chashash, we could say Mali Lashaker. So it comes out that the Gemara is saying that we wanted to compare it, that Abaya says we don't say Mali Lashaker. And we say no. That's because over there it's so clear that there was a problem with there was water over there. It's considered as if there's witness, there's edim, there's testimony, there's evidence that there's water, regardless of what this guy says. So we can't believe him anymore. Once we can't believe him, so then it doesn't matter what his story is. Whereas over here, by the woman, it's just a chash. We don't know what happened. We're left with the suffix. And we're left with the suffix. We could believe her. We don't know what happened. And she tells us, don't worry, I'm not part of that calculation, so I'm not part of the problem. So then we can believe her, because I could have always said I had a way out of this problem altogether. So therefore we do say a Mali Lashaker in the case of the Tumah. Right, then the next part of the Mishnah says as follows, Im yesh edim afilu eved v'afilu shivcha ne'emanim. If there's anybody willing to testify that she is not a problem, that she stayed out of trouble, we'll believe anybody, even a slave and even a maidservant. Okay, now that statement is very general. So the Gemara says, v'afilu shivcha dida mehemna. Or you could read this as a statement. So it sounds like from our Mishnah that even her own maidservant, not just a random person who is a shifcha, but even her own shifcha who works for her should be believed. However, v'rayminhu, I'll ask you a contradiction. Again, this is not talking about, this is a totally different context, but this is talking about when we believe an outside witness who's not even a real witness. When do we believe a shifcha? So the case over here is, that as I'll just tell you, the case over here is talking about where a husband decided to give his wife a get. Okay, he wants to get divorced. And the halacha is that once he writes the get, he's not allowed to be miyached with her, because we hold like Beis Hillel, that holds that a get yashan is possible. Meaning, if after he wrote the get, he lives with the wife, then that get is not usable anymore, and he has to write the get, he has to write a different get. That's the halacha. That's the way Beis Hillel paskens. Okay, so therefore the rule is that once he writes the get, if he wants the get to stay kosher, he cannot stay with her. So, let's read the Mishnah over here now. It says, Loi tesyached ima, he cannot be miyached, he can't even stay with her, el al pi edim, unless there are edim to watch to make sure that nothing happened. Va'afilu al pi eved va'al pi shifcha, even a slave or a maid is enough of a witness to say that nothing happened. However, here the Mishnah adds, very important, chutz mishivchasa mepnei shaliboy gas b'shivchasa. Except the exception to this rule is her own maidservant, because she's very comfortable with her maid. Meaning, even if her maid is in the room, that won't keep her from living with her husband, because she's so used to having her maid around, it doesn't even bother her that her maid's there. Normally, a random person that's in the room with them, they'll be careful, they won't do anything. And therefore, we can assume that nothing happens between the husband and wife and that the get is still kosher. But her own slave, her own maid, doesn't protect her for that purpose. So what do we see? We see that her own maid is not believed. So that contradicts our Mishnah. That our Mishnah implies that even her own maid is going to testify that she's tahar. So the Gemara is going to different to a few terutzim. Amar Rapapi. Rapapi says b'shvuya hekilu. Anachanami, you're right. And sometimes we can't trust the maid, but over here, remember, it's only a chashash in the first place. So by captives, but we're especially makel. You're right. It's an exception to the rule. We'll trust her own maid. That's Rapapi. Rapapa Omar. Okay, the names are very similar, so it's hard to remember who says what. Rav Papa says, Ha b'shivcha di da, ha b'shivcha di day. So it depends. And a chanami, her own maidservant we can't trust. But a maidservant in general, we could trust. His maidservant, we could trust. So, okay, fine, so that's the way he wants to make a distinction between his maid versus her maid. Fine. B'shivcha di da, loy mehem, no. So then it comes out that her own maid is not trusted. We cannot trust her own maid to testify about herself. Hakatani, but I'll bring you a different problem. Hakatani, ein adam maid al atzmoi, a person is not allowed to testify about themselves. Okay, that is a good rule. We always know that. That's the end of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you can't testify about yourself. But the implication is, ha shivcha di da mehemna. So, but that would mean that even her own maid, who's now somebody else, but it's not her, should be believed. So that contradicts Rav Papa's teretz, because Rav Papa said her own maid is not believed. So the Gemara answer is very simple. Shivchosa namika atzma dami. Her slave is like her. Again, they're so close, she'll stand up for whatever her master asks her to do, whatever. So if she, the same way we don't believe her, we can't believe her maid, because her maid is just a tape recorder of what she's gonna say. Okay, so it comes out according to Rav Papa, we do not trust her, and therefore we don't trust her maid either. A third teretz is Ravashi Omar, Havaha Bishiv Khadida. No, even her own maid, it depends. The Shivcha Michsa Chazya Vishaska. Okay, the case over here is that her own maid will protect her master by keeping quiet. That's what she'll do. In other words, we know that a maid servant will keep quiet. Won't undermine her master. So, but she'll keep quiet. So let's see how that plays out. Hosam dishtikasa matirasa loy mehemna. By the case of the get case, her keeping quiet makes her mutter. Means, because her keeping quiet will mean that she's not gonna say anything. We're not gonna know, right? So the, Right, her mistress, right. Her maidservant, her mistress is taking care of her, correct. So the... Right, as long as she... Right, so, excuse me, in the case of the get, where she keeps quiet, keeping quiet, not saying what happened, is going to make her mutter, right, is going to make her mutter, so then she's not going to be believed. Because as long as she doesn't get her, she just won't say what happened. She doesn't say what happened, then we have a suffix, and she's not going to be believed. But in the case of the get, where so keeping quiet is a problem for her, because we do worry that the husband and wife live together. So if she speaks out and she opens her mouth and says that they didn't live together, there we're going to be believed. Okay. Cause why? Hashtanami osyo mashakra. Because she'll come and she'll lie and she'll say that nothing happened. So the Gemara says, no, tarti loy avdi. She won't do too, it's one thing to keep quiet and not say anything, but it's another thing to come out and lie. To that, she won't do. She won't come out, so in other words, keeping quiet is not good enough. So if she keeps quiet, I switched around the cases. In the case of get, her keeping quiet will make it mutter. So we can't trust her. Whereas over here, by the case where she's kept where the goyim are coming in, so there, keeping quiet is going to make a problem. So it has to be that the only way she's going to make her master okay is if she, or her mistress, right, her mistress is going, the only way she's going to be mad to her is if she says something. So the problem is, she's not going to say anything if it's not true. And therefore, the point is, that's why in our case, what Rav Ashi is trying to say is that our Mishnah, even her own Shifcha will be believed. Because her own Shifcha would not lie. She might keep quiet and not tell us what happened. But if she actually gets up and says something, then we can believe what she says. Because she wouldn't outright lie. And the Gemara proves this. Ki ha de Mar Bar Isik, like the story of Mar Bar Isik, Vamri lo Chana Bar Isik. Okay, the story is as follows. Again, a completely different story. It's just coming to tell us where we could believe somebody from saying something. Also, lay acha mi bechuzo, that his brother, a brother, the father died, and all of a sudden this brother showed up who had lived with the father for many years, but over here, locally, they didn't recognize him. So Amar lay ployig li b'nichsei da'arba. So he says, okay, I want my portion of Yerusha, because I'm one of the brothers. So Amar lay, so Isaac said, Loi, or whatever his name was, right? It's Mar Bar Isik or Chana Bar Isik. They said, Loi Yodana Lucha. I don't know you. I'm not giving you a portion. I never heard of you. I don't know that you're actually a brother and deserve a portion. So also the Kami de Rav Chis. So they came to Rav Chis. So Amalei, Shapir Ka Omer Lucha. They said, it's very possible that we don't recognize you. Dichsiv, Vayakir Yosef Es Ochi, Vehem Loi Yikiruhu. That it's true that Yosef recognized his brothers, because when he left the house, they were already adults, and he recognized them for who they were. But when he left the house, he was young, and now he was an adult. He was there, so therefore the brothers didn't recognize him. So we see Malamet Shiyotze B'loi Chasim Azokin, that we see that Yosef left the house before he had a beard. Ubo B'Chasim Azokin, and when the brothers came to meet him for the first time, he already was old enough to have a beard, so they didn't recognize him. So therefore, Rav Chista said, it's possible that he's your brother and you just don't recognize him. So therefore, Zil Aisi Saadi Da'ach Va'at. So go bring witnesses, since they don't recognize you, bring proof that you're really a brother, because they don't know who you are. Amarle Isli Sahadi. So this guy who showed up says, I do have witnesses. However, the problem is, Umistafino Mine, but they're afraid to show up in court. Degavra Almo, who is a very strong and powerful person, and they're afraid to testify against him. Right? He's the bully in town. They're not going to testify against him. So Amarle Ladide. So therefore Rav Chista said, okay, good point. So he now turned to Isik Mar Bar Isik, and he said to him, Zil Aisino At Delavachuchu. Okay, so since his witnesses aren't willing to show up, so now you have to bring witnesses, since you're a strong person, you have to bring witnesses that he's really not your brother. So, Mar Bar Isaac said, Amalei, Dina Hachi, is that the halacha? He wants money. He wants to get from me. He has to be the one to bring the witnesses. I don't have to bring witnesses to the negative that he's not my brother. So, Amalei, Hachi, Dainina Lucha. Too bad. That's how I'm paskening for you. Ulekula almi chavercha. And to all your friends who are very powerful and strong people that nobody's going to go against them. When you have such a situation, nobody's going to say anything against you. Now, so we see over here, we see that a person, Hashanami, also Meshakri. So now the Gemara says, why aren't we afraid? Good. So they'll bring witnesses. If they're so strong, why can't they strong arm witnesses to come in and say that he's not a brother? So, right? If they're so powerful, why was Rav Chista comfortable having them bring witnesses? Even witnesses are not reliable because they're so forceful, they'll force somebody to say he's a brother. So the Gemara answers, and this is the rule that we're going to go with, Tarti loyavdi. It's one thing to say that I'm not going to testify against you. I'm afraid to testify against you. But to get up and testify, to lie, that's already a new level. That level we don't have to worry about. So again, the same thing over here. This is the way, so basically the Gemara wants to prove this is a concept that it's one thing to not be willing to testify, even if it's the truth, I'm not willing to testify. But to get up and lie just for the sake of protecting somebody, people don't get up and testify to lie. Aren't forced to lie. So the same thing over here also with the shifcha. So the shifcha also. If she keeps quiet, then we don't know what really happened. But if she gets up and she actually makes a statement that her mistress is tahar, that she wouldn't do unless it's the truth. And therefore we could rely on even her own shifcha to tell if she makes a statement that that statement is true. So the Gemara wants to say, Lema ketanoi. Actually, this concept of whether or not we can rely on a shifcha is really a machlekes tanoim. It says, Zu idus ish v'isha tinoik v'tinoikes. This is the type of edus about a woman, where even a woman and a man can testify, even a young child, avia v'ima v'acheh v'acheseha, even her father or mother, sister or brother can testify. Avol loy b'na ubita, but not her own son or own daughter, loy avda v'shiv chasa, and also not her own slave or maidservant. These people, in other words, even though we trust anybody to testify, we don't trust their own servants, their own people who will say anything about them, even if it's not the truth. That's one brisa. V'tani idach, we have another brisa that says, hakol ne'monim leheyud. Everybody, anybody and everybody can testify, chutz mehemna, except for herself, ubala and her husband, because also it's negeyed to him. Because if he says that she's tahar, then she's able to live with him. Okay, so we see, this is a very clear machlekes. This machlekes is about whether or not we trust her own shifcha or not. So, derav papi v'derav ashi tanoihi. So Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, clearly they're a machlekes, they have to say that this concept is a machlekes tanoihi. Because they both wanted to say that even her own shifcha is believed. Both of their terutzim are, well, either it's a special kula by over here, or Rav Ashi gave a whole explanation that she wouldn't lie unless she was telling the truth, right? She wouldn't say it unless she was telling the truth. So clearly there's a mandi amar over here that says, no, we do not trust her shifcha no matter what. So that's clearly a machlekes tanoi. The Rav Papa mi lema tanoi hi. Do you have to say in Rav Papa? Rav Papa was the one who said that, Rav Papa was the one who said that it depends on whether it's her servant or his servant. So he already made a distinction. He already was willing to say that her maidservant is not believed. So could we make this a machlekes tanoim? Right? Can he work according to both tanoim? So Amalach Rav Papa. So Rav Papa will say no. Ki tanya hi. So when this brisa said that we don't trust anybody, b'mesicha lefi tumoy. This is talking about where you're just telling a story. You're not even trying to testify. And therefore, right? So that, yeah, so that which we say that they're talking about is Mesiach Lefi Tumay. But not talking, and it's not Mesiach Lefi Tumay is not Masiach Letzvi Tuma. Hold on 1 second. So when, even Rav Papa will say, when did I say that we can believe her? It's not that she's going to give direct testimony. We're going to talk about where she is Masiach Lefi Tumai. Which is the concept that they're not trying to testify, they're telling a story. Ki ha d'chi osa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Chanon kar tigno. Right, the story is as follows. Mishtoi Maisa, he told the following story. Bo lefnei Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The story came to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. V'amala Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Mishtoi Maisa. Or Rabbi Shua ben Levi was the one who was telling the story. Bo lefnei Rabbi. And the story would have happened in front of Rabbi. Ba'odam echad shahay mesiach lefi tumai. He was just telling a story. He wasn't trying to testify. We were, both me and my wife, excuse me, me and my mother were captured by the goyim. That even when I was out and I was getting water, I was always watching to make sure she was safe. Lilkoid Eitzim, I was gathering wood for the fire. Daiti Alima, I was watching to make sure she was safe. And he was just telling the story about how he was willing to protect his mother, and he wasn't trying to testify about whether anything happened. They see Rebbe Lukuna Alpiv, and Rebbe, based on that story, saw that he was actually telling the truth. Because the way he was talking about it, he wasn't in bez and trying to give a edus, he was just telling about how they lived. And they lived, and he was always watching to make sure his mother was safe. So therefore he said, oh, so that type of story is going to be okay. So basically, Rav Papa is going to say the same thing over here by a Shifcha. If a Shifcha is just telling a story about how they lived, and what happened, and the events that happened, then, and the Hanami, we can trust her. But to testify, even Rav Papa will agree that her own Shifcha, to testify in Bezdin, to say, I testify that she is Tar, that's not something that we are going to believe. Okay, and therefore we could say that Rav Papa also could theoretically go according to both Mandiyamar. It could be according to the Mandiyamar that we do believe a Shifcha, and it could be according to the Mandiyamar that we don't believe a Shifcha unless it's Mesiach Lefi Tumai. Okay, we'll stop over here even though there's a Mishnah and a few lines below this, but we'll pick up with this next time.